Morning, Buzz. How was the weekend?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, guys. A few too many blowouts to my liking. Rabbitohs 46-0, Storm 66-16, Seagulls 56-24. I noticed the Panthers and Power both won by 26 points. So I heard you guys talking about it a little bit early. It doesn't make you want to sit on the couch and stay glued to the footy, does it?
Certainly not when you support one of those teams that got flogged, Buzz. Where are the Tigers at, mate? And Michael Maguire, I guess.
Yeah, look, I spoke to their chairman, Lee Hadjipantelis, yesterday after the game, and he was up in Townsville, and he's obviously embarrassed, and I'll use the word ashamed. The performance, Clarkey, it was just disgraceful, wasn't it? It was the equal worst defeat or most points conceded in the club's history. I think you've got to go back to something like 2012 to find a performance equally as bad. And, but look, what I like about the chairman and the board, I think they are going to play a patient game. They're not going to come out and sack the coach. They do have Tim Sheens arriving. They do have Brett Camorley arriving to work on the pathways at Campbelltown. Loz, I am a little bit worried about Tim Sheens, and there is no clear job description for Tim Sheens, and heard Adam Pengelly talk about that. And if he's going to get his hands dirty, you know, Sheens is 70 years of age and hasn't coached NRL since 2012.
Mm.
It's a long, long time out of the NRL with so many rule changes, so many different things happening in rugby league. I don't know how Madge is going to cope with that, having a hands-on director of football or general manager of football or whatever the title's going to be.
Well, I think for them to have success, they need to work closely together. And I think they will, because I think Tim understands what it's like being a head coach. I think Madge is smart enough and got a strong relationship with Tim to be able to work well together. The thing that I've always loved about Tim Sheens, Buzz, and you'd know this more than anyone that's out there in the media, because you've known him for a long period of time.
He was coaching when he started at Penrith.
He's always been an innovator, and he's always on top of the game, and he always knows what's happening. So in regards to him being out of the game for a long period, since 2012, that wouldn't be a factor for me, because I know how much he thinks about the game, and he'd be sitting and planning and looking at what type of players do we need to recruit, what type of players do we need to get with these new rules in place, what can I add to this organisation, where can I improve or put support around Michael Maguire, and what role can I play, what influence can I have that is going to help us be where we need to get to. And I love the fact that the Tigers have realised that it's going to take time, because otherwise they would have been in this vicious circle that they've been in, where they just change coaches again and then we go back to the start. We start again. I think they've got to hold strong. They've got to believe in who the people they're getting in and around. I think that Tim will certainly add value with Michael Maguire, and I think over time they will, but it's going to be take patience. It's going to have to take a bit of care and a bit of support for those people to get what they need to do.
Yeah. I worry, though, they're talking now about bringing Tevita Pangai Jr. in, and is he the sort of person that's going to fix the West Tigers?
That's a fair point, and I understand where you're coming from there. And you know what? Probably not at this point in time.
But Laurie, they're desperate, and this is where you talk about patience.
Yeah.
And do they let him go and then look for the next impact, edge or middle forward who's probably going to suit their culture a bit better for a long-term rebuild, a five-year rebuild?
Well it's a
exactly
gamble.
Exactly what Gus did at Penrith.
Yeah, it's a gamble. There's no doubt about that. But if you get him, and this is the big if you get him at his best and he's consistent with his football, everyone will be saying, what a great buy. And you know what it's like, Buzz. You always feel that you can get the best. Well, as a coach, you always feel that you can get the best out in a player. I reckon that's what they'll be doing.
They've got Joey Leilua there. They've got James Roberts there.
Mm.
And I think they've got enough difficult players.
Yeah.
Without bringing another one into the operation.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Clarkie? Would you like him there?
Oh, I don't think that's. I don't know enough about what Tim Sheens can bring to a football club. I go on what Loz says as a head coach. Yeah. Loz rates him as good as anyone he's seen. Yeah. So if I'm listening to someone that's played at the highest level and been that successful, and he rates him like that, then I think it would be an absolute compliment to West Tigers to have him there, to have him back there.
Sure.
Tell us about Manly. Sorry, go on. Yeah,
sorry, mate. I was just about to ask about Manly, Buzz. It was only a little part of your column today, but about Manly and their medical staff and their injury toll, and there's a bit of disharmony there.
Yeah, I'm going to name names here, Laurie. I can tell you that Dr. Nathan Gibbs, who has been around as a medico in rugby league for 35 years.
The best in the business?
Mm.
The best in the business, does not talk to their high-performance manager, Don Sinch. And there is drama there over the treatment of injuries, and they went to the Gold Coast yesterday without Jake Turbo, Josh Schuster, probably their two best forwards, Curtis Siren and Cade Cust. Now, these are injuries that weren't suffered on the football field. They were injuries that happened at training. Curtis Sirenham was coming back from a knee injury, and then he pulled a hammy at training. Cade Cust did his hamstring at training. Jake Turbo did his hip at training. And Josh Schuster, who was about to be picked, seriously, in that first State of Origin team, did his calf at training. He wasn't very happy about that at all. And I know Stephen Humphries is on top of the situation and he is conducting a review into it. Because whereas they ran up 56 points against the Titans yesterday, when they get to the business end of the season, there's a few people that think Manly's one team out of the top four who could create all sorts of drama in the finals. They are going to need the likes of Schuster and Jake on the football field. So it's an interesting watch this space story over the next couple of weeks to see how Manly sort this one out.
Geez, I tell you what, if Tommy T can play like he did yesterday and as he's been playing all year, he alone could nearly take Manly to the comp, winning the comp.
Yeah. Do you now think he's the best player in the game? This can change weekly, but...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah, we sort of were having this discussion early this morning. I still think Nathan Cleary is in the discussion. I love the way that Cleary's playing at the moment. But individual brilliance, Tommy T, he's got more standout highlights in his game, but I wouldn't underestimate what Nathan's doing for Penrith.
Mm.
No, look, I think they're two champions. I think we can put the champion tag on them. Mm. You know, Cleary has steered that Penrith side around so magnificently for the last couple of years. And their record's extraordinary. Look, I guess to be a Thurston or a Johnson to get to that rung, he's going to have to win a premiership or two and a couple of Origin series. So he's not at that level yet. Tom Turbo, wow, what a player. He's so good for rugby league. Doesn't matter who Manly is playing. Whenever he's playing, you turn the TV on just to watch him.
Now, Brisbane, what are you hearing about the potential rift, Buzz, between the players and coach Kevin Walters?
Well, I've written a little piece in the column today and I've said, look, the players weren't happy with Anthony Seibold last year and now they're not happy with Kevin Walters. And I've suggested they might need to have a look in the mirror and take a bit of accountability themselves. My criticism of Kev Walters is this, and we talk about Reece Walsh. And why is he playing for the Warriors? And look, I've made a few inquiries over the weekend as to the dismissal of Peter Nolan, their recruitment boss. And I was wondering if he was sacked because of the fact that Walsh got away, Sam Walker got away, et cetera, et cetera. I was told, though, very firmly, that no player comes to the Broncos or leaves the Broncos without the seal of approval and the tick-off by the coach. So I think Kevy's going to have to wear that, and it's been an absolute recruitment disaster that Reece Walsh has been allowed to leave that club. They should really have... They should have Sam Walker playing at halfback, and they should have Reece Walsh playing at 5'8" in the NRL.
But Buzz, can't we say that about just about every club? Like, again, I think of the Tigers, for example. Look at the players we've lost.
Name me an 18-year-old that's come into the game outside of who? Joseph Suaalii at the Roosters, that are as hot as Walker and Sam Walker and the playoffs just talking about.
Well, Ponga's not a bad one. Wasn't he at the Cowboys?
Yeah, he was also in the Broncos system as a kid, Clarkie.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think the issues from what I'm reading today seems like the players that have been told that they're no longer required at the Broncos, they're the ones with the beef with Kevy. And that's why we've got an article, or that's why we're hearing stories. Of course they're going to be peed off. It's like leaving a player out of a cricket team. Of course he's disappointed, but the bloke you bring in, he loves the coach.
Yeah, Clarkie, we can't work this out in 2 minutes in radio. Like, who's signed to be the Pangai Junior long term?
Yeah, good question.
Long term, I think you'll find Wayne Bennett did.
Yeah,
with Tavita Pangai Junior.
Yeah,
so we're going back a fair time. I think Matt Lodge was an Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
Talking of that, then, Buzz,
Reece Walsh should not have been allowed to leave that football club.
That's a fair point. But go back to Wayne Bennett. We know he's off contract with South. He's not going to be there at the end of this season. Is there a chance, a possibility, strong or not, or, you know, is there a chance that Bennett goes back to Broncos?
I don't think so, Laurie. I've asked that question. I've asked the owners of the club. I've been asking around News Corp. I've been asking around the board. I've been asking around senior management. The departure, Laurie, was so, so bitter, I can't see it happening.
Mm.
But I could understand if moves were made to bury the hatchet, reach out to Wayne and get him back there, because as much as we all love Kevy Walters and as much as everyone wants to support Kevy Walters, I'm almost convinced that he can't get the job done one out. And if there are communication problems with the players, they need to be addressed. Yeah. Having said that, the players need to pull their finger out and start performing better week in, week out.
I think they need Wayne Bennett. I think he's the only one that can fix it and fix it quickly. And I think we need a strong Broncos team.
Of course we need a strong
Broncos team. Laurie, but Kevy's got to endorse that. But not as a head coach, but come back as a coaching director, whatever you want to call him. But he needs to be involved in that club some way, shape or form.
Oof. He doesn't want to be a coaching director. He wants to coach. And he's still doing a great job with the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's got absolutely no interest in doing what Tim Sheens is planning to do at the West Tigers.
Hmm.
But Kevy does need help. And you think around, who else could do it? Craig Bellamy could do it.
But they
tried Craig Bellamy and he's too low of the storm. Mm. You know what I'd do? I'd write an open check. I'd take it to Trent Robbins and say, how much do you want?
Yeah.
Just fill it in. That's the sort of person I think the Broncos need.
So you're saying that Wayne will not go there as a coaching director. He just wants to be a head coach.
He does. He's on the record of saying that. He loves the hands-on part of the football.
Mm.
He loves it. And I'll tell you where football in Queensland's in a mess at the moment. You're seeing how badly the Cowboys are going. Now, the Titans are going disgracefully, considering their rebuild and the standard of play they signed in the offseason. They're going disgracefully. Right? The Broncos and the Cowboys as well. Now they're going to get a 17th team in there, Laurie, in a couple of years. They were already in a situation where we're getting blowouts each week. The weak teams are just not in the same ballpark as the top four or five clubs. It's a real, real problem.
Mm.
And Wayne Bennett, he'll run the 17th club. He'll be the face of the club. He'll be a magnet for players. So the Broncos have got to do something.
Yeah.
We love Kevy, but he has not been... how long has he had? 15 weeks in off-season.
Well, there's only a couple of blokes I can think of. One's Bennett and one's Gould.
Yeah. Would Gus go up there, though?
Ask. Mate, I think you've always got to ask. They're the two people that can get in there and to help. And if Bennett's not prepared to take a back seat to Kevy and help him and guide him, well, you move on to the next bloke. Because they've made it quite clear that Kevy's their man. And I think it'd be well worth a phone call to Phil Gould. Would be. I'd be making the call and saying, Gus, what's the chances of coming up here and helping me?
Yeah. No, good point.
You know, I just think that Kevy needs someone of that ilk, and the Broncos deserve someone of that ilk to come up there and try and get this big club going again.
Laurie, the Broncos are bad for rugby league right now because Channel 9 insisted at the start of the year with the rubber stamp of the NRL, put them on prime time Thursday or Friday night, and we sit there. Leading into our weekend, we turn the TV off at halftime. Because that is bad for rugby league. We need a competitive Broncos side. Desperately need a competitive. Yeah. Having said that, I'm hanging out big time for Origin. I'm hanging out for it.
Oh, so am I. Talking of Origin, Buzz, what about Queensland with Harry Grant? I just can't see them winning in game two. Not after the way New South Wales played. I think if Queensland were to win, they needed Ponga back in the team. They needed Grant in the team. And, you know, Munster would have been a bit better with the football that he's played leading into game two. But I struggle to see how this team will contain New South Wales.
Well, they've got Papalini back. They've got Welsh back, correct? Well, really, what, they played 5 minutes of the first game?
Yep.
So they've got two of the best front rowers in the game back. They've got Munster with football under his belt. So there's three areas they're going to be stronger. And the reason they've picked Walsh, if they were leading this series 1-0 and had to defend, they wouldn't have picked him. But they've picked him because they've got to win. They've got to throw the footy round. And he is so exciting, Laurie. And we've been ambushed up there so many times when we've gone up there as long odds on favourites.
Mm.
I am really looking forward to Sunday night. And even without Harry Grant, as you mentioned, I think they're going to be awfully hard to beat. Awfully hard to beat.
Queensland?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
They've basically got... Laurie, are there many better front rows in the game than Reece Walsh and Papalihi?
I think our front rowers can break square with them, yeah. I wouldn't say they're better, but I reckon they can break square. I just look at our backline, Buzz. I just think, and the way that the game is, once you get possession and once you get on a roll, which you'll get on a roll in Origin, I think we can defend their attack. I don't think they can defend ours.
Yeah.
You know, that's what my... Well, I wouldn't say it's a concern.
The interesting thing with Jake Turbo out, I think if they're going to pick a like-for-like replacement, I think Finucane is more likely than Crichton. Being a middle player.
Yeah, well,
Jake played in the front row.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I think Queensland are going to go a lot better than everyone believes.
Mate, you know what? I think they'll go better. I think they'll go better, but I still think New South Wales will win 13+.
Do you? There you go.
I do, mate. Yeah, I just can't get it out of my mind how they were just dismantled so easily in game one.
Well, you see now I'm going in the tipping comp, Buzz, so I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, mate, my tipping's not much better, Buzz.
And I still like Clarkie's fish and chips too.
Can't wait.
The old fish and chips, you're going to come out to Bondi. You can't get there at the moment, can you?
No, I can't.
No, you've got to stay away.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, can't wait for Origin.
Good on you, Buzz. Have a good week.
You too, guys. Cheers.